How we going, mates? Welcome back to another episode of The Top Step. My name is Ryan Roland-Smith. Grant Balfour is about to jump on. Well, there is so much I want to discuss with Grant. Number one, Max Scherzer. Did he use the old sticky stuff from a couple of years ago, or is it just rosin and sunscreen? We're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to talk Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani. We're just going to talk more and more about him. We all are, as it gets closer and closer. How much money is he going to make per year? What do you think? And what happens? I want to ask Grant this, man. What happens if, let's say, he gets like a significant but not major injury? I hate to say it, in July, August. What do teams do? Do they back off? Is he going to stick around with the Angels? Is he going to the East Coast? He was just on the East Coast. Everyone's asking all the tough questions. We got that. We're talking about the Aussie word of the day. We're going to educate you in some Aussie lingo or phrase. I'm going to throw something at Grant Balfour, especially. It's fitting too, because it's Anzac Day coming up in Australia. We're going to get into all that and plus plenty more. Before we get into it, make sure you go subscribe. If you haven't already, go click the subscribe button. That just helps the show. It helps you get notifications so you don't miss the chat. But we're just trying to have a bit of fun talking some baseball with two major league players, two Aussies, two idiots, two bogans, whatever you want to call it. All right, guys, let's get into another episode of The Top Step.
No matter what happens, Ryan Roland-Smith has something to tell his grandkids right here.
And the breaking ball, he struck him out. Yeah, that will be a story for the rest of his life as he strikes out Ken Griffey Jr.
This is Grant Balfour being Grant Balfour. Yeah. He is, as you mentioned, Jim, he's amped up. He talks a lot. In fact, he has the demeanor of a guy that wants to fight you.
You'll never say that I'm not killing them. Killing them.
All right, mate, we are up. We're rolling. How you doing? How's everything going since your Rays lost? What happened?
Oh, mate, 13-0 on the cusp of going 14-0 and being sticking their neck out and being on top of that ladder ahead of the Braves and the Brewers, 80s teams. It would have been nice, but we're sitting there on the perch with them tied now. So
yeah,
you won't get another shot till next year, mate. That's it. Start of the season only happens once, so that's been and gone and moving on.
And that's what Kevin Cash said to him. He said, "Hey, look, guys, we'll get it next year. We'll get that 14-0 next year." I was watching. It's so funny. We did that episode last week, and I think at that point they were 12-0, and then they went to 13-0, right? And
yeah.
Then they crapped themselves up in Toronto.
Mate, you go into another country and it's just
things change.
But Toronto's got a lethal lineup up there. I mean, they played well. I watched that game and it was one just really bad inning that just kind of knocked them around and cost them that game, and that was the end of the streak. But they went out and lost another one, but they've come back and picked up, I think, three out of the last four, and got themselves at 16-3 with the best record in baseball, mate. So you can't say too much, you know?
Well, by the way, after that episode, we're getting corrected left, right, and center. There was a couple of mistakes we made about this team and that team, and how this team went to the playoffs. I couldn't keep up. I was just like, I've had a gut. Yeah,
mate, it's all his say. It's all his say, mate.
All right, mate. Well, we're good.
I'm not having it.
You're not having it. Yeah. If you don't like it, listen to something else. That's
there
all right.
There you go. Mate. Listen to bloody Jimmy Barnes or something if you want.
Go listen to music.
I'll put a cassette in.
Yeah, go listen to music on Spotify or something if you don't want to listen to the show. All right, I've had enough. I let it rip on social when people were trying to correct me. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. Yeah. No, there's a couple of things, because I listened to the episode back. I'm like, oh, did I screwed that one up. I screwed another one up. It was me, by the way. I think I was screwing up like a couple of records and some other. Oh, who cares? You know, that was last week. But listen, man, we've got a lot to get to. We've got the Aussie word of the day. We're going to educate our listeners on the new Aussie word of the day. I want to talk to you about Ohtani, mate. He goes into New York and he's getting, he had to deal with the rain in Boston. Did you see him? Looked like a
oh, yeah.
wet dog out there in Boston. Trying to
miserable, mate. Miserable. Yeah. I've played there many times, and I would say more than half the games there, it was always the tarp was on, rain. Mate, as fun as a place it is to play when it's, you know, when the baseball weather's good, or even if it's just a little chillier, I don't mind. But when that rain, and you're just constantly dealing with the rain, and it's that nuisance rain up there too, it's like just kind of sets in, and you're like, oh, here we go. And you're in those small little clubhouses, really scratch yourself, mate.
Yeah, the dressing sheds. It's worse than
mate, they are. They're worse than dressing sheds.
It's worse than the SCG. Have you seen those dressing sheds? Did I ever tell you that story when I took Andre Ethy in there and the guy got mad at me? Did I tell you that story?
Oh, really?
Oh, nah. Yeah. I'm an idiot. And fair enough. I mean, the groundskeeper, right?
Yeah.
He let me have it. So real quick, before we get to that, I just want to talk about some of the things I want to bring up to you. I want to talk about Ohtani, right? How much you're paying him and what would you do with that kind of money? Because, you know, it's not going to be
what they get paid
in the NRL, put it that way. And then I want to talk to you too, Max Scherzer, mate. Is he guilty, not guilty? I want to get your take on that because you were pretty fired up about that as well. So I want to talk about, there's a few things I want to talk about. Make sure before we go on, go click that subscribe button. You know what to do. That way you never miss the riveting conversations between Grant Balfour and myself. But real quick, and we'll get this will lead into the Aussie word of the day. So we had that opening series in Sydney. Andre Ethier, remember him with the Dodgers?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
lefty. Great player. Outfielder. Right field most of his career, right? Lefty.
He was really good. He was with the A's, and then he was in Double A, and he was kind of like, wasn't a huge prospect, and then he just tore it up. I remember the year he tore it up. I was in Double A with him, and not with him, but playing against him. I'm like, who's this guy? He just was, you know, hit the cover off the ball, and then he gets big league rule 5 to the Dodgers, and this is the Dodgers before we know them now, where they just go out and spend a bunch of money. I mean, they always did, but you know, and then he just kept tearing it up as a rule 5. Anyway, enough of that. But we're in LA, and he gives me a text. He's like, hey man, can you take, I've heard all about these the dressing sheds at the SCG, right? Yeah, under the pavilion there, like the where like Bradman and all the greats, you know, would be, and that's where. So
bunch of signatures and stuff in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a bunch of like it's historic, you know. It's kind of like you were talking about the locker room at Fenway Park, but. So I'm walking him over, and this is a huge blunder, right? So I'm walking him over. I meet up with him. I was with the D-backs, so I meet up with him on the field. I said, oh, yeah, I'll walk in there. I don't know why he thinks I've got any pull. Like, I don't know anyone. But I was like, yeah, I'm just trying to be big time.
You're Aussie.
Because I'm Australian. Exactly. So I walk in, he goes, yeah, I really want to see this. Everyone's been talking about it. Like, all the locals basically been like, yeah, mate, you should see the dressing sheds. So Don Bradman. Yeah. And he's probably sitting there going, I don't know who that is. So we walk in there, and how do I paint this picture? If you go look at the SCG, it's like it's pretty modern, but they've got that one section, kind of like the Green Monster, I guess, which is not, you know, they've kept it
original,
The heritage site of the stadium. So you walk in under there. Now, listen, if you're an Aussie, don't get offended, right? But I walk in there, and it's not like some major league clubhouse, right? You know, these major league clubhouses that you've been in, and now you should see the Mariners, all the upgrades. It's ridiculous, like state of the art. It is like beautiful. We walk in there, and it's old, and and all I make a comment as soon as I walk in there. I make a comment. I say, listen, mate, it's nothing like it. I'm trying to justify myself here as I'm going.
Yeah,
I say to him, like, listen, mate, it's not much to look at, because he's used to major league clubhouses.
It's more like a museum as opposed to, you know, like some state-of-the-art clubhouse.
Yeah, and it's super old. You know, like super old. And as soon as I say that, I go around the corner, and there's this some groundskeeper in there who's, I don't know what he's doing, maybe, you know, smoking a dart or something in there, like having a break off the lawnmower. Yeah. And he's like, what do you mean it's nothing to look at? This is history. And he let me out as soon as I walk in. And there's like another tour group over in the corner, and they're looking, this guy's making a scene. Yeah. I was like, no, mate, I didn't mean like that. You know, he goes, who are you anyway? Like, he was pissed.
Yeah.
And I'm
sitting
there like, oh man. And Andre, if he's like, you know, we don't know each other that well. I've met him before.
Yeah.
He's looking at me like,
got the good old Aussie greeting, mate.
Did I ever? And the, and even like this tour group or whatever it was, this corporate group or whatever over here is looking like, looking what the hell's going on. I was like, hey, mate, he wasn't backing down. He was pissed. And then he just like stormed out of there. And after that, I was like, oh, wow, see, look at this. And oh my God, like I'm acting like I'm just blown away, you know, after that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but all right, that leads us to the Aussie word of the day for education for our listeners, our American listeners. And Aussies, you obviously know this word. You grew up with these. And it's kind of surprising because I've thrown this word around here and no one knows what I'm talking about at all. Yeah. Like it's not one of those ones like, oh yeah, that's Australian. Haha. Like, no, this is like one that's just so foreign. All right. So the Aussie word of the day, Grant, is rissole. Yeah. Explain to the listeners. And by the way, you're a little thrown off when this was brought up earlier.
Yeah.
What's a rissole?
We talk about the rissole. We talk about the RSL clubs in Australia. People are like, hey, you going down the rissole tonight, or you're going down the rissole, the Savo. And that means, are you going down to the RSL clubs? Which the reason we're bringing this up too is it's Anzac Day weekend in Australia. So it's the Australian New Zealand Army Corps. Everybody stops, takes a minute to think about, you know, all the Aussies, New Zealanders that fought in the war for us back in the day, Gallipoli, so forth. And all the current members of the military. And basically the famous three words, lest we forget, of the Anzacs. And mate, so the rissole is basically just tied into that. They call it the rissole as like a short for going down the RSL. But the rissole is a little meat patty, you know, that you could cook.
That's what I was talking about.
And that's what you're referring to, but yeah, it all ties into, you know, the RSL clubs and the Anzacs and whatnot.
Yeah. So to explain two of the things you're talking about here. First of all, the rissole that you eat, it's like a little meat patty. You used to go, like when you were a kid, you used to get for dinner. You used to get rissoles. Have you seen The Castle? Yeah. Right, the Aussie movie, The Castle.
Yeah.
Great movie. I need to throw a clip up on social media. But he's like, what's this, doll? And she's like, rissoles. Like, because they have it literally every week. Because that's what you ate, these little rissoles with, like, you know, your peas and your carrots.
Mashed potatoes.
Exactly, dude. Loved it. But then, like you said, the RSL, that's right. It's Anzac Day coming up. And Anzac, Australian New Zealand Army Corps. Anzac Day is basically what everything Grant just said. It's a big deal. But you used to go down the RSL, mate, when you were a kid. Or a Friday night.
Yeah, hit 18, you know. Or even as a young bloke, your parents would take you down there for a feed or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean.
I know you've been there. You've seen it. We've all kind of been through them. And then, you've got your other clubs too, like your footy clubs and your bowling clubs and stuff like that that people love to go to. But this is just a little different, a little more meaningful when it comes to, you know, the military and the background behind it. So.
The bowling club. I remember that too.
The bolo.
So we used to go when I was a kid. I don't know if the RSL, if you could go in there. Pretty sure you could, but like...
accompanied by an adult, you could go in there. And you can't go in where the pokies are and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And what hour was it with everyone? They all stood up, like all the old, like the veterans.
11 a.m., isn't
that's
it, usually?
Yeah, that's it. You're right. 11 a.m. Yeah. That's right. I remember that clear as day, mate. Because it's like get stand up, get up, like, you know, like your parents,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh, show oops. Some respect, mate.
And then the bowling, yeah, and we're not talking 10 pin bowling here, we're talking lawn bowls. They had the bowling greens, you could not step foot on that thing. Remember that? You weren't let as a kid,
those are like, it's just like trying to go walk on Sydney Cricket Ground, mate. They'd probably yell at you, same thing, to try to step on the pitch. Like sacred ground, mate.
Exactly. So you'd go, like, we used to go to Rathmines Bowler and we used to dare each other, like, run across the bowling green. You know, we used to go there for like a, you know, cheap food, whatever it was, like you know, chicken and steak Diane or whatever.
Mushrooms.
And we used to, like, my cousins would be like, "Now go on," like, we'd be playing cricket or something, and the tennis ball would go flying on the bowling green. You'd be like, you know, like Wile E. Coyote, like tipping across, tiptoeing across the bloody thing. Get off the green, like some old bat would be just waiting for you.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Oh, then, like, you know, you'd have that one cousin or, you know, one clown who, like, would, you know, meet you down there. He'd just, like, be doing cartwheels on there, just trying to, like, piss off them.
We're getting chased out of there.
Exactly. Well, speaking about getting chased out of the game, Max Scherzer, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? I can't remember.
Yesterday. Yeah, it might have been yesterday. I think it might have been yesterday, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it gets sent to the sin bin, mate. Straight to the sin bin.
Yeah, mate. I mean, you know, mate, up.
Well, hold on. Let me explain. Let me explain what happened to him. If you,
I'm still a little frustrated over what I saw. Actually, that, yeah.
Well, they're claiming, the umpires are claiming that it was way stickier than what they've ever experienced.
Yeah, three times. I think he said. Did he say Phil Cousy said about three times the amount of stickiness that I've ever felt.
Yeah.
Right, eh?
So
maybe he was eating gummy bears in between innings, mate. His hands got all sticky.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Eating
lollies.
He was, man. Max Scherzer, like, he was just livid, as you would be. But then after the game, now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but he swore on his kid's life.
No, I heard that. Oh, I read that. Yeah.
Mate, that, and we've all done it. We've all done it, mate. Like,
yeah, I hope he's not telling Porky Pies then.
I know. I've had to do it to me missus. Like, I'm like, hey, I swear. Yeah. I used to go kids' life. That's full on. I usually go, I swear on Layla's life, which is the dog.
Wait, she's getting on too.
Yeah, I know. She's tense.
But that's mine.
Losing its meaning. Yeah, but yeah. No, so, but he, mate, when you drop that, you ain't messing around.
Yeah.
When you drop the, and we all know it, mate. Every bloke who's listening to this, or every, you know, anyone who's listening to this is like, hey, man, I swear on me kid's life. You say that, all bets are off, right?
Yeah. You better be telling the truth.
Oh, yeah. So I'm thinking he's telling the truth. Why were you so frustrated about yesterday?
Well, I've read some stuff, and I believe him. You know, I totally believe him. Like he said, too, he got checked in, like, the second inning. Right, so they changed the glove because he's not happy with the glove. Phil Cousy's not happy with the glove he's got, the original glove. So he changed it. He goes inside, an official watches him wash his hands with alcohol. An MLB official watches him. He washes his hands with alcohol. He goes back out with the new, supposedly the new glove. They were saying, is it the old glove, new glove? Goes back out. They check him. The third inning goes by, okay. And then in the fourth inning, this is when it all erupted. And that's when he got ejected. And Phil Cousy came over and they checked it again and said, nah, it's way too sticky, and threw him out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like he said, he'd be an absolute idiot knowing that they were checking him. They had basically had eyes on him like a hawk, mate. Why would he go and put some sticky substance on when he knew that they were right on top of him about this? He'd be an absolute idiot, he said. So, I mean, you totally agree, right? Why would you? He didn't do it in the first place, he said. Why would I go doing it now after I just washed my hands with alcohol and everything? So I totally believe him. I think it was the wrong move by Phil Cousy. I understand since 2021, they checked the hands after every inning they come in. He claims it was way stickier than he's ever felt on someone else. And he believed he was doing something. So he got ejected. So now it's going to be up to the appeals court to see what happens here. But I'm with Scherzer. Yeah, the magistrate, mate.
The tribunal.
With the wig. The wig.
I agree. Like, you know, and like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but, mate, like I said, when you swear on your kid's life, that's it. But, yeah, he was pretty frustrated about it. The other thing is, too, which is interesting, did you see how Max Scherzer had been critical of, I don't know where I saw this, but he was critical of the umpires when Cody Bellinger was getting a standing O. And did you see Cody Bellinger getting a standing O in LA to come when he came back with the Cubs? Did you see that?
Nah.
He comes back, right? And this is where you got to have some feel, right? And I'll get to Scherzer in a second, but he comes back to LA, gets out there, the whole place is standing up, giving him a standing ovation. And then it's boom, pitch clock violation. right? But because he was taking too long and he's kind of like, you know, waving his hand and this, that, and the other. The umpire's like, yeah, pitch clock. Now I get it. You want to stick with the rules and all that, but that's one thing where, and I agree. And because Max Scherzer came out and criticized the umpire, saying, listen, like, this is, you know, he's fine with the pitch clock, whatever, but this is the part where it's a little bit ridiculous, you know? And yeah. So, which is true. I agree with him. So he was criticizing the umpires. Obviously, he's a big part of the players union that's criticized some of these new rules. So you start to wonder, it's like, is this like, all right, we're just going to
lay out for him.
Yeah, we're just going to get you any chance we get. You know what I mean? Now, this is just going to cause even more of a stir between him, and he's a big part of the players union with them and the umpires and everything else. Because A, he's been critical in spring training about different things. He said he's going to try and manipulate the pitch clock. Then he comes out and criticizes for which I agree with him, the standing ovation thing. Dude, just have some feel, right? And then now all of a sudden this. So now this, I think, is going to cause a whole other thing about checking arms, checking hands, umpires being more, because here's the thing, man, umpires just don't have any kind of, like if they're bad, nothing happens to them. We all know that. So now I think there's going to be more of a push towards that too. You know what I mean?
I mean, they do. I think they are scored off of their games, the percentages of strikes and missed. They are scored, but we've seen for years and years and years, we've seen guys that have terrible scores, but they're still umpiring Major League Baseball games. You know?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's like, where's the repercussions there? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's my point.
I know. And don't get me wrong, that's a very difficult job. But so is going out and pitching in a major league ball game and having to throw strikes and get people out. So,
and then having your hands with rubbing alcohol and all this, you know, that's to the point where if you're going to that length where you're making someone rub your hands with rubbing alcohol, and he switched his glove, it's like, all right, guys, let's play on.
Now you're play taking on. Him out. Yeah, I mean, and changing gloves, that's a big deal. Like some bloke, he might have wore that glove. You know, some blokes wear gloves. I mean,
it's a great point.
We can go back to David Weathers. I mean, I don't think he's listening. And his son's pitching in the game now with the Padres. But if he is listening, he'd tell you the story. That bloke wore the same glove his whole career, mate. It was flat as a pancake.
Yeah, right.
And he played 99 years or whatever he played. So he wore the same glove all the time. And I don't think that's the case with Scherzer. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Guys,
you know how it goes.
Gloves, but you get comfortable with it, you know? You
work it in exactly. Yeah, that's so 100%.
Just to go pull a new glove out, if it's not worked in, that's a big issue right there. You know, you could clank one and cost you a game.
For sure. Hey, speaking of clanking one, what about Otani out there? Did you see that footage of him? We're talking about Boston where it's raining, right? You sit there every time you see the guy in any kind of like conditions like that, because all anyone's talking about with Shohei Otani, I guarantee you, it's just going to get worse and worse this year. What I mean by that is talking about where he's going to end up next year. Yeah. How much is he worth? Right. So if let's say the Angels slip out of this puppy by July, which I don't think they will, but let's say they're just kind of, everyone's going to be like, well, he can't go back to the Angels. He's kind of said that he's like, oh, I like it here. And you know, he's trying to say all the right things and everything else.
Yeah.
But how much are you paying this dude? What's he worth, mate?
Well, I mean, at the moment you've got a couple pitches, and we just talked about Max Scherzer. He clocks in at 40 odd mil. And I think Justin Verlander is at around 43 mil, isn't he? Correct me if I'm wrong, around the $43 million mark for some of these top pitchers in the game per season. And you got this bloke doing that and going out and hitting bombs. I'm thinking 50 mils on the cards, mate.
Easy. How insane is that? But here's the thing, man. I was thinking about this earlier. Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Now, I know football's different. 5 years, he's making like, over 5 years, he's basically making $50 million a year. And you look at that and it kind of takes a sting out of, oh, he's going to make $50 million a year. But okay, as a hitter, is he worth 25? He's more worth more than that. As a pitcher, is he worth 25? I think he's worth more than that again, because some of the things you just said. So you look at that and you go, hold on, both of them, like, you know, you're gonna have to cough up some money. I think it's going to be more than $50 million a year. For a long time.
I mean, it very well could be. But yeah, it's unprecedented. No one's been there before. No one's really, you know, no one really knows yet. It's just gonna be one of those things where I think someone talks 400, 500, and then next thing you know, it might take 600. And the length of the contract too. I mean, who knows? You know, that'll push it out. It only takes another. You got someone saying 10 years, you got someone jumps in at 12 and says that all of a sudden it goes to from 500 to 600, you know, 50 mil, it's at 600. That number goes up quick, mate. So, and you got to think about it too. Look at some of these guys. I mean, not to get into golf too much, but look at some of these signing bonuses these guys are getting to go play in the Live Tour.
Yeah.
You know, 200, 150, 200, 250 million just to go over there and play.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of money in sports. He's probably, you know, top five in the game right now. You could arguably say maybe even just number one out there on his own, you know? Yeah. So he's going to demand a huge contract, and I think someone's just going to have to throw the checkbook at him, and that's going to be it.
Yeah. What happens if, let's say, what happens hypothetically, which it can totally happen. Let's say he, I'm trying to use it. What's an injury that keeps you out for a few months and can be pretty significant?
Hamstring.
Let's say, remember Giordi's Achilles? Remember that?
Oh yeah. He'd be done for a year probably.
It's a long, significant injury. It's not an arm injury, right? But it's a significant injury. Let's say he does that in July. Let's say he tears his Achilles tenant. What happens then?
I don't know. I don't want to really put this on the bloke. Jeez. if a bloke that you know is going into free agency has a significant injury, we look at a bloke like Justin Verlander. I mean, the bloke had Tommy John, right? They bring him back. The Astros bring him back. They know that, you know, hey, it's going to cost us 25 mil, but you know, whatever, right? They still paid the guy because they believe he was healthy, right?
Yeah.
But a bloke like that happens in July, you know, you're going to miss him for, you know, the first half of the year, almost like Bryce Harper right now. You know, like he's out. He's going to miss my majority of the first half of this year, I suppose you could say, and I guess you just factor that in. Know that he's going to be healthy. He can come back from this injury. It's not a biggie. You got the doctors involved, and they're all going to be putting their 2 cents in. You know, and he still gets his money for me.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, you mentioned Verlander. Do you bring him back on a 1 year deal? Let's say he comes back, right? Let's say he blows. Would you, if let's say you're the Angels, right? Hurts his Achilles in July or something like that. I'm trying to think of an injury here that's not an arm injury, but it's significant enough. Do you say, listen, and I think Otani, obviously it's up to him. Do you bring him back for 1 year, $25 million, knowing he's going to play half a year and then he's a free agent again? Is that what you do?
I don't think it's going to be enough. Someone's going to give him a 10-year deal and they'll let him sit on the sideline of rehab and still have it for 9.5 years.
That's where I was going.
It's a guy like that. The Yankees have said, don't worry, we'll rehab you. We'll get you right. You're going to be ready in July. Here's your 10 years. It's not going to be enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Different kettle of fish. He's in his own category there, I believe. It's going to be different.
Yeah, he's 500 million.
You said it was another Tommy John. Maybe we start to have a different conversation, something a bit more significant, a shoulder or something like that. But an injury that you believe you can recover from and that he's going to be fine, still going to get his money. Get it as much, might hurt him a little bit. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
No,
but for all of us, I'm just seeing what's happened with Tiger Woods over this. Let's just hope that Otani stays healthy, you know, because he's great to watch and you want to see him at his best and healthiest, and he's fun for the game. He's fun to watch, and honestly, I hope he goes out and has a mammoth year. Hopefully, the Angels, can do a little bit more than they have for Angels fans out there over the past few years. And then let's watch it all go down, mate. I think it's going to be fun to watch. Who's going to throw the checkbook around.
For sure. All right, man. Before I let you out of here, right, we're going to do the all-in moment. Do you have your all-in?
Yeah.
Ready to roll?
Yeah, mate. I got me all-in.
Crack it open.
Going with the tropical. It's got to be one of my faves, the tropical, actually.
Yeah, I'm on the tropical. I've got the all right, so if you get a drink.
You got the orange, mate.
I got the citrus. So
citrus, yeah. Okay,
all in energy. It's the official energy drink of the Top Step. If you go to drinkallin.com/thetopstep, you'll get you a nice little discount.
Yeah, mate.
The all in moment, Grant. Give me that. What was that moment? Now, you were pretty fiery on the mound, as we all know. You bow for age. Give me that all in moment. What was the craziest interaction you've had with an umpire? We saw Max Scherzer get tossed out of the game for having rosin on his arm and maybe something else, who knows, but he swore on his kid's life.
Yeah.
Go back, if you can, craziest interaction you've ever had with an umpire. Or the worst interaction. What do you got?
Worst? Man, I'm kind of stuck for words here a little bit. I never tried to, challenge the umpires in any real way because I know it can hurt you, right? Sometimes you throw a pitch and you're like, geez, where's that? That was right there. Anyways, I guess it's just a hard one for me to answer, I suppose. Sometimes I remember being in the big leagues, first coming up, and it wasn't a big uproar or anything, but I threw a pitch right down the middle. And they called it a ball. I mean, this is like ball. I was like, wow. I know the big league strike zone can tighten up at times and stuff like that, but that was right down the middle. And I felt like they were just testing you, just waiting for a response.
I got that.
They're like,
too.
Is this kid going to blow up? Or is this kid just going to sit there, eat it, and throw another one right back in the same spot and I'll call it? And basically, that's what I did. I couldn't do anything else other than just get back on the mound and just throw another pitch and throw it right there. And there it is, strike. I'm like, what? I was in the same spot. So no crazy interaction, but yeah. So,
mate, I had the same thing as a rookie. I never forget it. I'm pitching in your neck of the woods. I was pitching against the Oakland A's. Throw a pitch, same thing, down the middle. There's runners on base and what have you. Or close to down the middle. I kind of give that look. And straight away, I see the umpire, so stand up like this, stick his chest out. You know how they get, mate. Like, big egos.
Like, are you challenging me?
Exactly.
Are you challenging that call? Yeah.
Yeah. And at this point, I felt like I had, I mean, you've got 2 months in the game, you feel like you got 10 years, right? So I feel like I'm like, dude, I'm good. Yeah. If it was like week one, week two, no chance. But I'm like, I'm kind of like throwing my hands up, throw another pitch, boom, ball. But yeah, I'm like, ugh. So I'm sort of reacting, right? Yeah. I can see him talking behind his mask. And I see my catcher, Jamie Burke, turn around, like doing this one, like turn around and go, whatever. So sure enough, I can't remember the next couple of pitches, but I throw a pitch, a little pop up, catches the ball. I'm walking off. I glance over and is he talking to me? He's screaming at me as I'm walking back to that first base dugout. I'm walking and I just hear this, hey, who the fuck do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Just ripping me. I turn around, I'm like, what the? And then Jamie Burke comes running at me, like to grab me. And I hadn't said a word yet. I'm just looking at him. Is he talking to me? I get in the dugout. And Jamie's like, man, like, just ignore that. Ignore it. Just go out and do your thing. I'm like, what was that all about? He basically said, the umpire said to Jamie, he said, first of all, who the hell is this rookie bitch? Like, I don't know who this guy is. And Jamie, and he's like, and he basically said, and Jamie's like, oh, where do you have that pitch? He goes, listen, he goes, he wants to act like that with me. He goes, I'm not calling anything. He goes, any pitch he throws, I'm not calling a strike. I don't care if it's down the middle. And Jamie was like, so Jamie was sitting there behind the plate thinking to himself, like, I'm so happy the dude made contact because you're going to throw pitches down the middle. He wasn't going to call them at all.
Yeah.
You flash forward now, like there's no way that'll happen now because umpires are under such a microscope. This is 2007. And you know how it goes, man. If they wanted to, you could throw a pitch down the middle, like you said, test you a little bit.
They
just won't call it. It's on them. There's no technology or any of that kind of stuff to say, good or bad.
A lot. And you're warned. Did happen by, a lot. Happened you're a warned ton. By guys. Hey, mate, yeah. Listen. This guy might just, you'll throw one down the middle. He'll just ball you. So just
exactly.
Don't react. Just go back out there and go at it. Give him, show him some respect. He just wants respect.
Exactly.
From the players. And then you'll be good to go.
And Jared Washburn, I remember him saying to me, he said, listen, when you have a start, good or bad, when you get taken off, I know you're mad if you suck or if you do well or the umpire's pissed off. Just acknowledge him every time you leave the field. Just acknowledge him and say, hey, thanks. Like, thanks for whatever. Like, we're working together as a
thanks
team.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. he just said, don't. He goes, you show him. He goes, they all talk and they all work with each other. They switch crews.
Yeah.
And he said, every time, just acknowledge him, just like, you know, say, thanks as you walk off.
Just so a head nod and just good on you.
So I started doing, I don't know if it helped or not, but no, it did actually help because then you'd have some up like, hey, what's up, Aussie, or something as you're warming up that foot.
Because
you're going to be there as a starting pitcher too. You're going to be there for like, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And like you said, man, they all test you. That's so true, especially rookies, you know? But awesome, man. Well, this has been fun. I got to get out of here. I got to get it's early here. I got to get the kids to. Kids to school, mate. Got to go give them the Fruit Loops.
Yeah, mate. Get a bowl of cereal in them and keep them going for a couple of hours.
Put some Rissoles in the lunchbox and from last night, straight in the microwave.
Throwing all in there for them. Keep them going all day.
Get the whole year two, second grade class and all in each. Here you go, kiddos.
The teacher will be happy with you.
Yeah, I will say these do have all natural ingredients. So, it's not like one of those buddy, whatever, energy drinks at the servo. That's for sure.
Yeah, nah. Not that junk.
All right, mate. Well, we'll catch you next week. This has been fun. If you've got any questions or anything you want us to cover throughout the show, let us know. Reach out. People have been reaching out to us and talking about last episode, talking about how we jinxed the Rays. Maybe we did, mate. Maybe we did jinx the Rays.
Mate.
Oh, what are you going to do?
People will talk.
Yeah.
I mean, tell your buddies. Go and tell your buddies. We're trying to,
we're trying to do
good things here. We love being able to share, weekly reports on MLB, the love of the game that we have, and share it with you guys. So share it around, and we look forward to talking and seeing you all next week.
Yeah, I swear on Layla's life, mate. Next week's going to be an absolute blast. I promise you.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
All right,
we'll talk soon.
See you, mate. See ya.